For this time we come to look into the Bible and to see what you have revealed. Capture this morning our minds, capture our spiritual eyes and our ears and our hearts, that we could see beyond the written page, that we could hear beyond a man's voice. You would be pleased to have mercy on us and show us kindness on me and on each one of us as we speak, as we would hear, that, Lord, you would plant into our hearts what you want to say to each of us today. Let this message be truly a message from you. We give this time to you, and we look to you, and we depend on you. Father, give me your Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart would be pleasing to you in this hour. We are thine, Lord. Help us. In Christ's name, amen. Who remembers what the word plodding means? Not P-L-O-T-T-I-N-G, but P-L-O-D-D, plodding. What does that picture to you? Sorry? I can't hear you, but that's all right. A horse. Oh, that's a good picture. Mediocre, mundane, drudgery, just walking it out. Soldiers, too. You ever seen soldiers, pictures of soldiers in the forest or in the jungles or in the rain? They're plodding. Wars are won with plodding. I want to speak to you this morning on cultivating consistency and faithfulness. Cultivating faithfulness. You know what cultivating faithfulness takes? Not glamour, not conferences, not celebrity preachers. Faithfulness means plodding. It really does. Faithfulness, someone said, is our Christian business. And Christianity is not a matter of inspiring moments or great conferences or Christian celebrities or mountaintop experiences. All those at times are a blessing, but they are exceptions. They are not daily, they are not always, and they're not even essential. Think of what John the Apostle had on the Isle of Patmos. He might have had some scripture. He probably had some other believers with him who were exiled there. But the essentials, the real issue of biblical Christianity is knowing and loving Christ as a daily affair and plodding on after Him. Regardless of who else is, regardless of what churches are doing, regardless of what evangelical fads are out there, regardless of what next rising star who burst on the internet, who can preach like whoever, and then they're gone. Christianity, true biblical Christianity, is an issue of you cultivating faithfulness in all things. So, it's very clear what I'm talking about today, cultivating faithfulness. This is not an expositional sermon. I don't even know that I have clear points. How about that? But the reason I don't is because this is an exhortation. The whole message is an exhortation. It has one point. Cultivate faithfulness right where you are. Grow in faithfulness. Advance in faithfulness. Be exceptional in faithfulness. You know, a lot of people, a lot of times, they dream big dreams. maybe a missionary, being like David Livingston, being like C.T. Studd. They dream big dreams, but they don't even cultivate faithfulness in little things where God could entrust them with the big things. Acts 2 is the text, verse 42. Acts 2:42. See yourself in the mirror here. Does this reflect your life? Does this reflect your walk? Does this reflect your faithfulness, your consistency? All of us, no matter where we are, can increase our faithfulness in things. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The two words in there are continued steadfastly. Now, we know the context here is the birth of the church in Jerusalem, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Several thousands are saved, but there was a time when the descent and the power of the Holy Spirit began to recede and slow down. And then here you have this huge number of believers in Jerusalem. And what do they have to start doing? They have to begin to walk out the gospel. So Luke records, and they continued steadfastly. That's the path of every Christian. That's the goal of every Christian. For me to have in my heart, for every believer to have in their heart, I want to be faithful to Christ daily in everything. I want to be among those who continue steadfastly, not inconsistently, not in an unstable way where people cannot count on me in service or faithfulness, but continuing steadfastly. David Livingston, he became famous because of what place? Africa. He got buried in Westminster Abbey. I've been to his grave. Hero. Famous. But what marked his years in Africa? Walking or canoeing 29,000 miles. Attacked by lions, attacked by fever, sleeping on the ground, facing cannibals. Years of hardship, years of suffering, years of loneliness. He died on his knees in Africa, kneeling in prayer, and his servants found him. And they took 6 months to carry his body from the interior of Africa out to the shore, so he could be buried in Britain. Livingston plotted. That's what made him great. You would not have never heard of him if he hadn't been a plotter. Are you a plotter? Are you a spiritual plotter? Faithfulness in all things. What Donald Sarnoff said is true about Livingston. The will to persevere is often the difference between failure and success. The will to persevere, to just keep going when you don't feel like it, when you don't feel like you're up to it, when it's not even in your heart. Well, I don't really want to go this week to that meeting. Well, I'm not sure if I should do that. When the Bible encourages you and I to do it already, it's clearly revealed. Spurgeon said, by perseverance, two snails made it onto the ark. Perseverance. By perseverance and plodding and cultivating faithfulness, you and I can grow in grace, can become trustworthy for the Lord to entrust us with more grace, more light, more understanding, more truth, more opportunities for service, more fruitfulness. Now, I want you to think of the Thessalonian church. Do you know how big it was? We picture maybe hundreds. Scholars say that there was probably 25 to 30 people in the Thessalonian church, as it was in many of those churches that Paul planted. They weren't all big. They weren't all outwardly impressive. But the Thessalonians are a marked example of faithfulness and plodding and steadfastness. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 1:3 commends them when he writes them the first time. And here's what he says about them, or to them. We give thanks to God for you always, remembering your work of faith, labor of love, and patience in hope. Remembering your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience. But then he writes the same verse, chapter 1, verse 3, in 2 Thessalonians, and here's what he says. They hadn't declined. They hadn't grown inconsistent. They hadn't given up. They hadn't got discouraged. They hadn't got mad at people in the church and the church split, no. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, Paul mentions that their faith had grown exceedingly and that the love of all of them was abounding toward one another. What a mark of faithfulness. Can that be said about us? Can that be said about our church? Consistency, developing growth, cultivating faithfulness. Do you think any church or any Christian ever gets to the place of steady growth and ongoing maturity and dependability and consistency and growing in their service and their love and their fruitfulness? Can any Christian get to that place without cultivating faithfulness right where they are? No. If you read the lives and the early history of most well-known preachers that you've heard of, Whitfield, Spurgeon, John Piper, Paul Washer, they were trusted with more because they were faithful in the little things. Paul Washer, when he came back from Peru, he wasn't preaching anywhere. He said, I'm going to move back home and try to establish a mission work to support these indigenous preachers. He finds out from Michael Durham, who's one of his best friends, lives 10 miles from him. Michael's going out to preaching. Paul said, hey, can I go with you? Can I tag along? Paul would go with Michael and just be his prayer partner in meetings. Just cultivated faithfulness right where he was. John Piper did the same thing, just teaching students. You cultivate whatever your motivation is, whatever your giftings are, whatever your callings are, whatever your longings for the Lord. Fruitfulness in that area will depend on faithfulness in it. Ian Murray said, faithfulness to Christ is our first obligation in all we're called to do. Faithfulness to Christ is our first obligation in all we are called to do. In your work, brothers, in your home, sisters, in your being a young person who has parents, you young people, if you're a Christian now, your faithfulness to Christ comes first in obedience to your parents, in your parenting families, in our church life, in your relationships, in our choices and our hobbies, in our leisure time. Are we consistently faithful in all things or inconsistent for bad, wrong reasons? Think about faithfulness in all things in your life, church meetings, church lunches, prayer meetings, lady study, men's study, hospitality to the brethren, considering the brethren when you hear of a need, opportunity to serve. So many of us excel in all this, but you know what happens? We can get robbed of cultivating faithfulness by what? by distractions, taking on too much, too many irons in the fire, too much on our plate, too many projects, too much this, too much that, and we get robbed. We get robbed from faithfulness in many things. Wrong priorities, spiritual laziness, a lack of commitment in some areas, an unwillingness, an unyieldedness to Christ with our life and our choices. All such spiritual need and lack keep us back from faithfulness in all things. And mark it down, it is absolutely true. If we're a Christian, our usefulness and our example to others is at stake when we aren't faithful and consistent in all things. It may be that the most important area of any Christian's life may well be, am I faithful in all things? Faithfulness is cultivated and developed. It grows, it increases, it becomes consistent. So I want you this morning, I want me to evaluate. I've been evaluating. Several years ago, I evaluated how really consistent and how really quality my time in God's Word truly was. How much am I benefiting? How consistent am I getting into it? And I saw, and I had to face the fact, inconsistency was there. So let's evaluate this morning your own faithfulness, your stewardship of your entire life and your walk with Christ. Grade yourself. How about your daily time with Christ in prayer and His Word? How is that going? Think about it. Some of us in our hearts have to be silent and say, I don't read hardly much at all. I'm too busy, and I get going, and I just totally neglect it. Some of us could say, when I'm not rushed, when I don't have a busy day, I'll read a couple of chapters, and I'll pray for 5 minutes. I got an email from some ministry or someone that talked about, I'm going to pray for 10 seconds today. And it was a serious deal. It was kind of a shallow, silly, a more politically incorrect word might be stupid, little cream puff devotional. And they thought that it was a good thing if people would just pray 10 minutes a day, I'd connect them with God. Well, 10 seconds of Bible reading, 10 seconds, 5 minutes, is never going to cultivate strength and maturity in our lives. So how are you in cultivating faithfulness with the Scriptures and with prayer? What's going on in your life right now as a Christian there? In relation to this book and it being in your life and in your heart and you in it daily and you being before your Lord Jesus Christ daily, how is it with you consistently? Are you being robbed? You think about our church meetings, and we are so scattered geographically to the north and the east and the west and the south. We're scattered. But beloved, think about it. How much for the Christian does our church life really matter? And how much are we dependent upon the graces and the means of grace that God gives us through church life? It's vitally important. The strongest family will grow weaker and more needy when the church life isn't consistent. So think about this. Our called church meetings, there's five called meetings scattered throughout the month. Two weekly, Sundays and Wednesdays. Two bi-weekly, a men's study, a women's study. And one monthly. We call it the Friday Night Fellowship. It's not for the whole church. Basically, for those who are 13 to 30. And then But if you ever want to come, come. It's not shut to others. Once a month. Now think about this. Our church has never been legalistic about any meetings, have we? We've not. We've never been legalistic about church attendance or meetings. The elders have never lorded it over anyone about attendance. But be sure of this. This is a grace issue, and it's a conscience issue in light of the Scriptures. Be sure of this. Church life and faithfulness and consistency is at the top of the list when you look at New Testament reality, isn't it? They continued steadfastly. It is there. And so, with the busyness of our lives and work and family and responsibilities and activities and all, you know, it would be amazing if we could just, if everybody made a list of everything they're involved in, from soccer to swimming to this to that. If we could make a list and not even know whose list it was, and list all 478 things that we're all corporately involved in, we'd just be amazed. Look at how busy life is. We really would be. But our busyness of life should never rob us or distract us of faithfulness to Christ and faithfulness to His people. Because if that happens, we're getting robbed. We may have too much going on, or we may have our priorities out of place. Someone has said, without consistency, now think about this, without consistency, there is no moral strength. Apply that in marriage. Apply that in your own spiritual walk. Apply it in your work. Without consistency, there is no moral strength. It's true. The Bible says, behold the faithful man. We could say, behold the faithful woman. Behold the family. Faithful family. They will be blessed in the earth. Now here's questions for you to apply. Can the kingdom of God, can the kingdom of Christ depend on your personal faithfulness? Does your church, whatever church you're a part of, does your church see your inconsistency or your consistency? Can the brethren always depend on you? Can church leaders see in you what's needed for more future service and ministry? J.I. Packer said, faithfulness is our business, but fruitfulness is an issue that we leave in God's hands. And it's really true. Only God can make us fruitful, but we are to make ourselves faithful. And we can. Perseverance in following Christ. Think about it. Perseverance and faithfulness in following Christ means consecration and devotion in our relationship with Him. First and foremost, devoted lovingly, relationally to the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be the love of our souls before our mates, before our children, before the brethren. Cultivating our consecration and devotion to Christ is a part of perseverance. Prayer, regular reading and study. Now, someone here may be among those who never read the Bible consistently. And they don't read through the Bible each year. And they never read a Christian book. They say, I'm just not a reader. I don't have time. They don't do those things consistently. When the fact is, reading through the Old and New Testament once a year and reading periodically a biography on a Christian, a book on spiritual discipline, a book on hospitality, a book on prayer, all of that would make your life blossom and increase and become stronger. But you don't do it. Is that kind of spiritual reality of pursuing Christ and pursuing Him and His Word and pursuing and faithfulness in your church life? Is that a part of how you truly live? Is that what you how you want to live? Because God's resources for spiritual life, God's resources for spiritual life, and what are those? The Word of God, prayer, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, relationships. Those are God's resources for spiritual life and growth. They require one thing: faithfulness. Whether it's books or Bible reading or church meetings or you having brethren over or private or church prayer, are you maximizing faithfulness for your spiritual health? Are you maximizing faithfulness for your spiritual health? At the end of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, Paul exhorts the Christians in verse 58, be steadfast. That word means settled completely. Be steadfast. Immovable. Immovable means you cannot be moved. Paul said, with all the trials he was going through, remember what he said? It's amazing, because I can't say it. None of these things move me. You talk about immovable. Be steadfast, and Paul exhorts all the Corinthians, be steadfast, be immovable, and what? Abounding. That's a financial term of abundance. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Is this true of me? Is it true of you, brethren? Are you a steadfast believer in the things of God? Are you immovable? Are you tossed about with every wind of doctrine, every bit of gossip, every criticism, every discouragement? You're just tossed about like a boat in a harbor where the wind's blowing and it's just going every which way. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in serving Christ. Continuing, they continued steadfastly, in season, out of season. I have known pastors that I was close to over the years, very close to. And they got into their 30s and their 40s. And they became weary and tired and hurt by people and disillusioned. Good pastors who quit the ministry from discouragement. And they were pressured out of their churches by opposition, and they now never preach anymore. They probably will not pastor again. And if I spoke to them about it, even lovingly, they probably would feel uncomfortable. Beloved, you've heard it said, many begin to run well, but few run well to the end. You know, and I know, believers who seem to run well, and they don't continue, and they stop. It is easy after 20 and 30 and 40 years to grow so weary of persevering that you want to just give up and quit. And that's when remaining faithful and cultivating faithfulness has to be there. Children, who won the race, the hare or the tortoise? It's not to the famous or the swift or the brilliant or the someone who's excited, but it's to the faithful, to the plodder, goes the victory and the spoils. One of the last, may have been the last messages Francis Schaeffer ever preached, was entitled, Keep On. Have you ever heard it? Anyone ever heard it? Go to the internet and find it. Keep On. He preached from Jeremiah's life. This was right at the end of Francis Schaeffer's life. And he, with all of his apologetics and all of his brilliance and all of his analysis of Christian history and civilizations and cultures and post-Christian nations and the arts and all the stuff that Schaeffer was so good at, that I couldn't follow him in some things that he was talking about. I could follow him in this one, his last sermon, "Keep On." And he said it about six times in a row with passion. Keep on. Keep on. Beloved, you and I must have in our heart a passion, an urgency, a desire, a spiritual impulse that says, I will, by the grace of God, cultivate faithfulness and consistency so much right where I am that God will be able to entrust me with whatever He wants me to have. Some of you excel, so many of you excel in this. But beloved, the Scripture calls us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. May God help us to cultivate faithfulness right where we are. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I need myself, I need strength and encouragement for the journey. None of us have finished our journey yet. We need help. We need the help of your Spirit. We need your word renewing our mind. We need the strength of the brethren. We need the fellowship of the life of the church to strengthen us in God. We pray you'd help us, Lord, to cultivate faithfulness in all things, that we might never decrease or go backwards, that we would press on to know you, press on, Lord, in the things of the kingdom of God, press on and increase in faithfulness to Christ, faithfulness to your people. Lord, seal this word in the hearts of young people who are Christians here and every believer. Lord, you could even apply this to those who are unbelievers for them to know, I can't be faithful to Christ because I don't know Christ and I need to know Him. So Lord, bless your word to our hearts. We thank you. We praise you for your word. In Christ's name, amen.